You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
A reading from Isaiah. God's servant is endowed with God's spirit in order to bring justice to the nations. The servant will not exercise authority boisterously or with violence, nor will weariness ever prevent the fulfilling of the servant's task. God's old promises have been fulfilled. The servant's new assignment is to bring light to the nations. And the lesson reads, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. The word of the Lord. The psalm is read responsively by whole verse. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The word of the Lord.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of today's gospel. Thank you, Danielle. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite our children forward, or those who are young at heart. Come forward, please. And we're going to come over here. Hello, everybody. A lot of Packer jerseys for some reason today. All right. Come on. Come on, buddy. How you doing? Hi, everybody. How you doing? How are you doing? Good. You know what? Let's sit down. You look tired. Let's sit down for a minute. let's sit down for a second. Y'all look tired. Have a seat. Good, good, good. Can anybody, and you can raise your hands, can anybody tell me what this is? What this whole thing is here? Can someone tell me what this is? Can you guess? Yeah. The baptismal font, says the pastor's kid. I'm proud of you. I knew you knew that regardless, but I'm proud of you. This is the baptismal font, and the top part is in the shape of a certain animal. Does anybody know what that is? Hint, I just read about it in the gospel reading. What do you think that is? Starts with a D and rhymes with, yeah, what do you think?
I can't remember.
You can't remember? That's okay. It starts with a D and rhymes with love. Yes. Dove. Fantastic. And you would have got it without the hints. I know that. Very good. A dove. And this was made by one of our members, Don Vanderlees, and his grandson or son? And his grandson. And he put this beautiful thing that was made many years ago for the church on top of this beautiful thing. In here are a number of different things that you probably shouldn't touch unless I'm around. Yep. But there's also a book or a pieces of paper in the form of a booklet that tell us who's been baptized in this baptismal font. Baptism, we read about in the scriptures today, right? Baptism is this thing where they would go into the waters of the Jordan River and they would be cleansed. And being cleansed was part of the way that they would honor God by removing those things that essentially made them unclean, okay? Raise your hand if you guys ever been cleaned before. Should all have your hands up. Yep, you've all had a bath or a shower. Good. We do that because, what's that? Or not so clean. Yes, yes. I mean, showers aren't required daily. But I think that once in a while it's good to be clean. But guys, the beauty of this water here that's different than the water at home is that God promises us, I'll show you in just a minute, we're all going to have a chance to touch it. God promises us in this water here, can I splash you?
Yeah.
God promises us in this water here that we are called beloved, just like God was called beloved. And this water is a water that's given to us every day. It's a reminder that we are God's chosen, and this is a water that helps get us through those moments when life is kind of tough. It's hard to remember our baptisms, right? Because we were very small, right? But your parents remember them, and the church remembers them, and maybe Pastor Karen did one of them, and she remembers them. And in baptism, we make promises. Pastor Karen led us this morning in those promises. That was the beginning of worship, and the band led us in our creed as we sang about these promises. And we're going to invite the congregation and you during communion to come up and remember your baptism. But look, between you and me, they need some help, okay? And so I'm going to have you stand up. We're going to stand up, okay? And we're going to get in a line, and this is going to be our sending. I'm going to send you back to your seats first. We're going to get in a line. Come get in a line facing the baptismal font. I know we can do this. I'm convinced of it. Come on. Good. Yeah. Very good. Ramon. Good? Yep. Ladies, come on. All right. Very good. All right. Yeah, you can just cut right in line. Perfect. All right. So we are going to remember our baptism, and here's how you remember your baptism. You're going to dip one finger in, and you're going to mark a cross, okay? But before we do that, we're going to pray. So can we all pray? And then we're going to mark a cross and remember our baptism, okay? Let's pray. Repeat after me. God, thank you for baptism.
Thank you for baptism.
Thank you for always
surrounding us with your love.
Help us to share that love
with the world.
Amen. Dip a finger in, and then you can go back to your seat. Go ahead. Yep, you guys can come around the baptism. Yep. This is an object lesson, though, everybody. This is how you will do it today. Come on, come closer. Good, very good, very good. Here, come here. Here, I'll. Here. Keep your hand in there.
Put your hand in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right. Come on around here, guys. You can come around the side. Yep. Good, very good. Best day ever. I love that shirt. Good, all right. Very good. Good, good, good. Thanks, brother. Awesome. Well, thank you, young people, for teaching us. And thank you, LCR. Thank you, Pastor Karen, for the note in the cross. And thank you all for a year of internship. We somehow got through it. I just thank you for your love and support from all I've learned from Karen, from the congregation. You've all taught me so much. My wife and I and the kids say thank you. I do head out to Minneapolis one more time this afternoon. I'll be back Friday for the last time ever in my life. Probably not ever in my life, but just keep my wife and the kids in your prayers. On the flip side, the church staff gets a break from me for a week, so I feel like that's refreshing. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for your word. Help us, God, to remember, God, that we are baptized. Be with us now, God, as we enter your story and figure out how we're supposed to live that story into our daily lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Gospels give all sorts of different accounts of Jesus' baptism. And when I read through them, I almost feel as if the Gospels and their writers didn't know what to do with Jesus getting baptized. And I think the church still struggles, maybe sometimes, just to understand why Jesus did it this way, why Jesus chose to get baptized. From like a PR point of view, it was arguably a terrible decision. You see, baptism back then was where the sinners went. They stood in line, and then they got into the water, and then they were cleansed of their sin. And so, you know, the disciples, I have to imagine, saw Jesus approach the Jordan and like, oh, cool, he's probably going to give a sermon. You know, he's probably going to talk about how he's living water and stuff. He's probably going to feed people. He's probably not going to stand in line and wait his turn to get baptized. But he does. And the gospel tells us that even John was confused by this, right? You're supposed to baptize me, and you ask me to baptize you? Baptism in the Lutheran tradition is extremely important. While it's still at times sometimes confusing, it's extremely important. In fact, for Martin Luther, baptism and the Holy Communion were the two sacraments that he held dear. And he loved them because of this one reason. In both of these, it is God that acts first. In this meal, God makes this meal holy and gives us holy nourishment to go out into the world. And in baptism, God comes to us, makes all things new, calls us beloved, and invites the church to respond to that message. Luther had six children, God bless him, and he wrote about how they would pester him with questions. And those of you with kids know that talking about your faith and the ways of God to children is super easy, right? Like explaining the Trinity to children is a piece of cake. It's about as easy as explaining it to pastors and the church. Yet children have questions, and we're called to respond to them. And so Luther, after being supremely annoyed, wrote the Small Catechism for parents as a tool to help them in conversation while still acknowledging that some of these things were going to be different. And I get it. And at the time, it was probably extremely helpful. But as the years went on, as the church has grown, as we've understood our faith in different ways and exercised it in different ways, I worry that sometimes these things become a bit too routine. I think baptism can be one of those things. We sometimes take it for granted. And that's not to say that we don't get excited about it. It's a great photo op, right? There's usually a party afterwards. This is going to be one of those times in the church season where the pastor is going to be in every picture, right? You're going to have family from out of town. There's going to be some gown that was passed down from generation to generation. And these are all really, really good things. What's more important is what we were reminded of this morning, that promises are made. Parents make promises. Sponsors or godparents make promises. Those who are in the congregation make promises. And that's extremely important. Personally, I think there's something irresistible about it. I love baptisms. I get extremely excited about baptisms. I think we should break into applause every time we baptize people. I love at this church that Pastor Karen lifts up the child and presents them to the congregation. While that may be normal for you, that's not the case everywhere. I like that she sometimes walks the child amongst the body of faith, the community of faith that just promised to raise this child up in the ways of Christ. Promises that are given to us in baptism from God. Promises that young people and old need to be reminded of. We know the words and the actions and the rituals and even the feel of the water, the smell of the sanctuary. We know these things and they're holy, but they sometimes become ritualized in a way that we don't really remember why we are called to practice this as a congregation. You see, sometimes we ask the question, I ask the young people today, do you remember when you were baptized? If you had an infant baptism, I struggle to believe that you remember it, but maybe you do. For those of you who might have been baptized later on in life, you remember your baptism. Pastor Karen shared that Tori wasn't very quiet during her baptism. No? And those stories are wonderful, and maybe some of you have those stories. But if we read the story of Jesus, and if we listen to the life of Jesus, the question or the response is not, I was baptized. The response that the gospel writers would eventually point us to, the response that Paul would hammer again and again, the response that Martin Luther himself would routinely shout out at the voices in the world is, I am baptized. Remembering that you are baptized. For the early church, the Jews, it was circumcision. It was this outward display of faith, this marking and remembrance of the covenant that God had made with God's people. And then in the message and ministry of Christ, we learn that the waters of baptism are the renewal of this covenant, the promise of this covenant, that we are not only washed and anew, but that we are given this living water. And a number of faith traditions do baptisms differently. What blows my mind is that at LCR, we're doing a baptism once a month. Praise God. So we get to confess these things together. We get to promise these things together. Pastor Karen invites the family to join in the laying of water on the child. In El Salvador, in the Catholic Church, they do this tradition that's a bit extreme maybe for us, but I love the imagery. They have a small coffin next to the baptismal font, and they place the baby in the coffin momentarily, and then they raise the baby up, and they place the baby in the baptismal water, signifying that we have died and risen with Christ, and that we are offered eternity, an eternal life beyond this life, but also this gift that all of those things that we think have ended and died will be resurrected. It's a promise that is difficult to remember. Yet water is so central to our understanding of our God. In the beginning, God hovered over the waters. We know that Noah floated upon the waters and was given this new creation that God had called Noah into. And we remember how God led Israel out of slavery across teeming waters. We know that water is necessary for life. Water is so intrinsically tied to our living that we cannot go a day without drinking it or thinking about it. And in our gospel, Jesus enters this water and is cleansed. What happens immediately after this, though, is super important. Immediately after this baptism, Jesus goes out into the wilderness and is tempted. Nadia Boltz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor in Denver, writes about this in an article in the Sojourners magazine. And she says that in the wilderness, Jesus is tempted. And it's important to listen to these temptations. The scriptures read, if you are the Son of God, the tempter begins, if you really are what God says you are, throw yourself off this mountain, turn these stones into bread, see these kingdoms, they can all be yours. Temptations to test the power of Jesus' baptism and God's claim on his own life. Weber says, we are vulnerable to darkness precisely to the degree in which we doubt the identity and purpose given us by God in the waters of baptism. Hear that again. We are vulnerable to darkness, precisely to the degree in which we doubt the identity and purpose given us by God in the waters of our baptism. If you have ever experienced sudden discouragement in the midst of healthy decisions, or if there is a toxic thought that will always send you spiraling down, or if there is a particular temptation that is your weakness, then here's a suggestion. Take a note from Martin Luther's own life and shout out, I am baptized. During Luther's ministry, he was on the run. And at one point, he was holed up in a castle. He was copying scripture so that it could be in our hands. And he was trying to communicate all of his teachings to this new church that was springing up. And it's said that Luther, who was an interesting man, would oftentimes be heard shouting out, I am baptized, at those things that tempted to give him doubt or struggle. It's also said that he threw inkwells constantly and was just a lot of fun to be around, it sounds like. But he would shout, I am baptized. And I wonder if we did that, if we remembered that way, how different our lives could be, how different situations could be. Because suddenly in that moment, the water of baptism is no longer some insignificant thing like little drops of water poured from a faucet, but instead it is the raging water of the Red Sea that is held around us so that we can journey through into God's promised covenant. So I'll close with this. For those of you who each day is a struggle against temptation, whether it's temptations of the body or the bottle or the pill or the powder, whatever it is, whatever is tempting you, here are some words to hang on to. I am baptized. And for you who is struggling with depression, who struggles each day to see any point in it, who is discouraged, feeling alone, or just struggling with self-doubt, here are some words. I am baptized. For the person sitting in the oncologist's office holding their spouse's hand, waiting for that news that they know is probably not going to be good, I am baptized. For the teenager who's bullied, for the crummy use of online technology that makes us feel insignificant no matter how far away we are from the accuser, I am baptized. For those of you, amen. Amen. For those of you who are entering your last days, who are struggling in the moments at night to cling to them because they are some of the last, I am baptized are your words of hope. If you ever wondered, did anything happen at your baptism? The answer is yes. And maybe the heavens didn't open and a dove did not come down, but you were named beloved. And you had a congregation that gathered around you and made promises about you and for you to God because they recognized God's first promise. I pray that you would remember that you are baptized, not that you were baptized. So say it with me. I am baptized.
I am baptized.
Amen, LCR. Thank you.